So I'm still looking at the whole 1947 picture. And so today's message or teaching is, at some point we're going to have to go out and we're going to go, well, we will be witnessing. I mean, we should be witnessing anyway, but you know, maybe there's going to be more effort, more structure on that. And you're going to meet different types of people out there as you're witnessing. There'll be the ones who are just not with God. They know nothing about God. And I think those are the relatively easy ones to talk to and share the gospel with. One of the hardest categories is those lukewarm Christians who don't go to church, but they believe they're saved. And yeah, I'm a Christian. If you ask them to put down on a form, what are you? They're not Muslim. They're Christian, you know. And they might even say, I'm Catholic or Baptist or Methodist. I can remember when Dickie was doing hospital visitations and that, and I remember one of the people saying, you know, people would put on the form like, I'm Baptist, and say, right, now we know who to go visit, because they claim they're Baptist. And then you've never seen them before in your life. And we've only got one small church, so we know. So today I'm going to talk about the lukewarm Christians. And I don't believe people here are lukewarm. Like I said, we're all frozen, actually, but we're not. I think it's always good to do a bit of a self-check as well as we go through it, because as Christians, once we've received the Lord and we have that initial enthusiasm, we can tend to drift along. We lose that first fire, that first passion for Christ. All of us, we've all been there, and then you resurrect it again and then fades away again. And so maybe it's just a good self-check as well. How are we right now, individually? I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm picking on myself, if anybody is. Okay. So if we go to Revelations chapter 3, verse 14. So now Jesus is addressing seven churches, and he's writing letters to them, okay? And of the seven, five were a bit of an admonishment. Only I think two were only sort of congratulated or, yeah, you're not doing a bad job. And the one we're looking at today in verse 14 is Laodicea. I never know how to pronounce it. Laodicea. And he was quite brutal with them. So verse 14, write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. So verse 14, it identifies who's writing it. It's Jesus. It's the true witness, the faithful and true witness, the Amen, the beginning of God's new creation. So it is Christ writing. And then he goes on about, you're lukewarm, not hot. I wish you were hot or cold. And I never really understood that, why the cold was more acceptable than being lukewarm. Until doing my research, I never realized that Laodicea in Turkey is part of the modern Turkey. And about 6 kilometers north of Laodicea is Hierapolis or something like that, the city name. And they are famous for their hot springs. So they had Roman baths there, and it was a place where people would go for restoration, for relaxing, for therapeutics. Remember, they didn't have much medicine in those days. Hot water was seen as a way of healing if you were stiff and arthritis and stuff like that, or just relaxing, you know. And then 10 kilometers south of Laodicea is Colossia from the Colossians. And they were famous for having refreshing cold water. Okay? So they had a lot of mountain springs or something, but it was cold and refreshing. This is before the days of refrigeration and chilling. Laodicea was in the middle. They had no water, or minimal water. So they used to have, the Romans built aqueducts, you know, those stone canals and that, from the two, Colossia and Hierapolis, to Laodicea, and that's where they got their water from, or most of their water. The problem is, 6 kilometers, 10 kilometers, by the time it gets there, besides having picked up some dirt along the way, maybe a dead rat or two in the channels and that, and fermenting vegetation and whatnot, it was lukewarm. So they never had hot water or cold water. They always had lukewarm water. So when he's writing to that church, they knew exactly what he meant. Okay, so they understood that what it meant to have lukewarm. And you know yourself as well, if you are on a hot day, or I know when I've been hiking and it's really hot, and the water bottles you have with you, the water warms up to ambient temperature. And when you drink it, yes, you're hydrating, but it's not refreshing. And you can imagine if it's got a bit of dead rat and moldy vegetation and stuff, you drink that, you want to spit it out. So that's what Jesus is saying. This is what your deeds are like in Laodicea. You are just, whatever you do, your works there are like lukewarm water. It doesn't restore, it doesn't heal, and it doesn't regenerate. Your deeds are all nothing, like bleh. Okay, and that's what he's addressing there. Okay, verse 17. You say, I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Laodicea was a very important city. It was on all the trade routes. There were a lot of trade routes going through it. So they were actually a very wealthy city, more so than the two around them. And I think they say historically, about 30 years before the letter of Revelations was written, they'd actually had major earthquake in Turkey. And a lot of the cities were destroyed, and Laodicea was one of them, badly damaged in the earthquake. And the Romans and the other cities, what they would do in those days, was then they would provide funds to rebuild those cities because they needed them for the trade and that. And Laodicea was in such a financially secure position, they could actually say, sorry, we don't need your money, give it to the other people, we'll rebuild ourselves. They had enough money in the bank to rebuild the city themselves. That's how wealthy they were. And it was very unusual, you know. And this is what he's addressing. He says, you have money. And that was the problem with the Laodiceans. They were financially secure. They had what they needed. They didn't need anything except cold and hot water, but they didn't need anything. And because of that, they didn't rely on God. They weren't relying on Jesus for what they need. So materially comfortable. And I think some of us, not all of us here, some of us can identify with that. When you are materially comfortable, you don't have to rely on God and you forget about God. You know, I have a job and I'm doing my work and I've got money coming in, and yeah, it'd be nice to have more, but we're comfortable. We have a house, we have electricity, water sometimes. You know, it's why do I need to rely on God? And this was their problem. They were just so not in touch with God. They were just living their lives comfortably in that. Okay. So verse 18. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you'll be able to see. Jesus is obviously not talking about gold and white clothes. He's talking spiritually. He says, you need spiritual gold. So how do you need to build up treasures in heaven, not here on earth. And I've talked about that before, is how do you build up the treasures in heaven? That's by doing what God has planned for you to do. Okay? Anything else you do, it could be good works, but it's coming from self. That doesn't build up treasures in heaven. You need to do what God has put for you to do. And you need to find that. So that means you have to focus on talking to the Holy Spirit, talking to God the Father, reading your Bible, praying. You need to do all those things so that you know what God wants you to do. Otherwise, you're just doing things out of your own strength, your own self, just like the Laodiceans. Okay? So that's making you, in God's eye, or Jesus' eye, lukewarm. Because you're not building up treasures You're building for yourself, for your own ego, for your own, what you think is right, not what God thinks is right. And we do wrong things inadvertently. You know, you see somebody in trouble in the town or whatever it was, you know, they're asking for money and that, you give them the money, it's not helping them. Yes, temporarily you're doing something for them, it's nice, but it's not what God wanted for them. Maybe God wanted for them, for you to share the gospel, or for you to spend time with them and take them for a meal, or to make them feel wanted and loved and part of society again, or, you know, it's not just the money handout necessarily. Or maybe God did want you to do that. So you need to know what the Holy Spirit is saying to you when you do something. And that's difficult, because we're not always in touch with God and the Holy Spirit. And that's something that I think, for myself especially, I need to get out of that lukewarmness of doing things in my own strength and building treasures here for myself, but not up in heaven. And then he says, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Now that last second part of the verse is often used for evangelizing. You know, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. But here it's specifically addressing the lukewarm Christians. He's not saying that he's not in their hearts, but he's saying, you're not letting me in. You're leading your own lives. You're following your own plans, even though they look good, but you're not allowing me to direct you. You're not allowing me. So I'm knocking at the door. I want to come in and guide your life, to be part of your life, instead of keeping me out there. All right. So that's, you can use the verse for the evangelizing as well, but that's the way I see it there in context of the church of Laodicea, of the lukewarm Christians. And Jesus also says there, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So he's not doing it out of vindictiveness or bad, you know, you're a waste of time. And that it's, I love you as my Christians, as my sons and daughters. And that's why I'm criticizing you and saying, come, you need to change. You need to be hot for me or cold for me and do the right things. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious, sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. So there will be reward in heaven if we follow what God is wanting us to do in our lives and the plans. So now if you're sharing this with lukewarm Christians, one of the guys I was listening to, he used the word, he said he heard a new word, and it's called Christianish. People are Christianish. They sort of have a flavor of Christianity, but they're not really Christians. And there's a lot of people sitting in churches who are like that as well, because they've just learned, they grew up with going to church on a Sunday, doing their thing, and then that's it. So how do you tell these people, how do they test, how do they know if they are lukewarm? And there's a couple of questions you can ask. So you can ask yourselves the questions as well. Signs you're lukewarm. You might be lukewarm if you crave acceptance from people more than acceptance from God. A lot of us, especially, I think as you get older, I always said once I was over 50, I lost this requirement of being liked by everybody. I just speak my mind, and you just have that confidence, and you don't care really so much what people think of you. Although I won't go dancing because I'm scared what people will think of me when they see me dancing. But that's different. But in terms of my character and what I stand for, I'm not as shy about it because you get to a certain point. But I think, especially when you're younger, you You compromise. You want to fit in with your peer group. There's that pressure. In the workplace, you don't want to be seen as the one, the holy Joe, necessarily. So you will keep quiet about your Christianity in the school, in the workplace, wherever you are. Because you don't want to ruffle feathers. You want to blend in. HR says you shouldn't. You know, that type of thing. You know, it's not the done thing to share the gospel at work, that type of thing. So you blend in. And that's one of the signs that you're lukewarm, is you are more worried about what people think of you. And I'm talking about Christian ideals, than what you want God to think of you. So you compromise. You try to blend in. You're like an under secret service agent there. Nobody knows you're a Christian, right? Another one, which I think a lot of us do, you try to rationalize sin. So there is an area of sin in your life, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm talking about sin that the Holy Spirit has been talking to you about, and you know that there is an area of sin, and then you try to rationalize it. You try to say, but this is why I do it. You know, I can't think of examples right now, but you try to justify the sin so that you can carry on sinning. Okay? And it can be something small, it can be something big, but the point is you're not repentant. You can live with this sin in your life. You get used to it. Okay? I can remember in one church a long time ago in Joburg, there was a guy who was on the leadership of the church, and it's not gossip, I'm trying to give an example. He was in an adulterous relationship with somebody else. And he was trying to rationalize it to the leadership, was because his wife doesn't love him. It's because his wife doesn't do this, and his wife doesn't do that, and so therefore he's allowed to do this. And he had it all rationalized and sorted out. For him, it made perfect sense. But that's what I'm talking about, that Luke, it's slowly, you can justify anything. It's obviously wrong, but you can justify anything. For me at the moment, it's complaining about the government. Dickie was very careful to point out the other day. She said, you know, when you read the Bible, there are no complaints about the government. There is no, it's all about Jesus and how to live a life and it's history and the stories, but you never see them talking about how bad the government was or complaining. And for me, it's becoming more and more, the Holy Spirit's talking to me and saying, stop it. But I can rationalize it. I can say, yeah, but they're corrupt. They're wasting my tax money. They're no, you know. So I need to stop doing that. That is, for me, is being pointed out as a sin. I'm not saying for the rest of you. You each have your own areas where you are wrestling with it. So now when I have no electricity in the mornings, or I have no water for a few days, or there's potholes in the street, I have to smile and not complain. But I need to change it here as well, because I can keep my mouth shut, but I'm still thinking. So you need to change. Okay. I can no longer rationalize that particular sin because the Holy Spirit pointed it out. Okay. If I don't like it, I'm just going to do something to change it. That's the point. Yeah. Not complain. Another one, and this one I am guilty of, is you rarely share your faith in Christ. We don't use every opportunity we have to share about Christ. And it doesn't have to be full on evangelism. It should be just dropping a word, a sentence, a verse, you know, just telling people something about Christ at the point. You know, when you get to the till and the lady's not happy, then you could tell her about Christ, you know. Share a verse when you ask her, so why are you not happy? You know, and then she says, and then you can say, well, God says this. You're not hitting them in the eyes with the gospel message, but you're just sharing what is important to you, God. Okay? And a lot of us don't do that. We just walk through life the whole day and me included, and I never say anything about God to anybody else. We keep it internalized. I might be praying, I might be reading my Bible, but I'm not sharing. And that's a lukewarm attitude, really, because we're not on fire. We're not giving them refreshment, the cold, and we're not giving them the hot, the healing from the situation that they're in. Okay. We're just like the Laodiceans. Another one is that you only turn to God when you need something. I used to call these the bad weather Christians. So Christians who walk along without ever talking to God until something goes wrong. And then it's, oh, woe is me, and talk to the Lord and prayer, and can you pray for me? And a lot of us have this. I mean, I'm guilty as well. So I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody. We just do it. We waft through life until, and then we forget about God, like the Laodiceans, until something really goes drastically wrong. And then, wow, we're on our knees. We're praying. We're reading our Bibles. We're studying whatever it is and trying to hear God's word, voice in that. And then we wonder why God puts more and more of these bad things in our lives. Maybe because it makes us talk to him. Okay. I don't know if that's true, but maybe, you know. Yeah, well, the only time you talk to me is when something goes wrong, so, hey, here's another one, here's another one, here's another one. At least you're talking to me. You also get what I call, and it's not on the list here, the fair weather Christians. Christians who love the Lord and they're praying and praising and worshiping as long as things are going well. As soon as things go bad, that's when they turn away from the Lord. No, you don't love me, you don't help me, you don't. And then they turn away. Either way, it's like a lukewarm behavior. Okay. You only turn to when things are going good, or you only turn to God when things are going bad, depending on your personality. And the last one is, which sort of combines all of these, you are lukewarm if you are no different to the rest of the world. If people can't look at you and see you in your environment, wherever you are, and they don't see you as a Christian, they don't know you're a Christian, then you are lukewarm. You're just blending in so nicely. Like the first one, you're just blending in. You don't want to cause ruffle feathers and that sort of thing. People must know that you're different. They must see it in the fruit of your spirit. They should know when things are going wrong at work. They see you as the center of calmness. You have that peace. And you say, well, the Lord will work it out. So let's pray about it. Yes, we put plans into place, but we also put God into those plans, that type of thing. So they know where you stand and who you are. But we're not like that. A lot of us. we're very shy about that sort of thing. Okay. I can say now I'm not guilty of that because I'm retired, so I don't have any influence in any way. So only on Dickie. Okay. So how do we go about fixing our lukewarmness? Now, you know all the obvious things. It's to spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, spend time worshiping. You know what you have to do. Listening to God, listening to the Holy Spirit. But one of the teachers I was listening to, he said, no, that's too complicated. Let's make it very simple. He says, if you want to stop being lukewarm, the whole thing about being lukewarm was that they weren't doing anything for God, neither good nor bad. They weren't refreshing. They weren't healing. They were just flat. You know, they were just doing stuff, the minimum possible. He says, what he would recommend you do, and maybe I should try the challenge as well, is every day you do one thing out of faith. So you actually purposely said, I will do something today that takes a step of faith. Maybe it's sharing the gospel with somebody in the queue at Checkers while you're in there waiting. Or at least sharing something about God, saying something about God. Maybe it's offering to pray for somebody if they say, well, this is wrong, healing, whatever it is, in the congregation. Pray for them. He sort of tongue in cheek, he said, maybe it's daring to pray in public, Because a lot of us as Christians have that issue, that we don't like to pray in front of other people, even in cell groups and that. And I'm not pointing anything at cell groups. I don't like praying in public. I struggle with it. It just feels uncomfortable, but you get used to it. So maybe it's a step of faith, just doing a small thing like that, but you do one a day. And this guy said he actually kept a diary of it for a year, you know, and then he would, every day, because it was a commitment, he would do something like that, just that one act, and then you'd make a note. And he said you could see over the time, the acts got bigger and bigger, because, and more, because you, becomes part of your lifestyle. So that's one suggestion. But otherwise, spend more time with the Lord. It's the only way around it. And listen to what he's saying. But then you have to do what he says. And address those areas that I said indicate you are lukewarm. Amen. So no longer are we going to be lukewarm Christians. And I'm talking to me here. No longer am I going to be a lukewarm Christian. I need to start doing more of what God wants me to do. And I need to start listening. And I don't want to be spat out of Jesus' mouth. That doesn't mean I'm going to lose my salvation, but it's just, it's distasteful. It's like, yeah, you're in heaven, but you're down there somewhere in the back of the crowd instead of sitting on the throne with Jesus. Okay? Where he welcomes you and wants you into heaven. Collect your rewards. Okay. So, yeah, as we share communion, please just think if you're an on fire, active Christian, awesome. If you're lukewarm, then maybe confess it to God and say, I want to change, I want to do more. Maybe you know people who are lukewarm, and then you can go and deal with them and talk to them and say, look, please, you know, you need to, you don't want to be spat out. Let's do what we need to do. And then just put it before God. It's the easiest way to do it. Repent and put it before him and stop being lukewarm. And that's especially for me as well. Just because I'm here teaching doesn't mean that the rest of the week I'm not lukewarm. And I need to change. And I need to address the sin of the government, complaining about the government and the municipality and stuff like that. For me. Okay. Shall I just close off before we have communion? Father, I don't want to be spat out of your mouth. I want to be sitting there on the throne with you and with Jesus. And I want to build up treasures in heaven, Father God, not treasures here on earth. And Father, I just ask for the real outpouring of your Holy Spirit amongst us to guide us and show us, are we lukewarm or are we doing things for you, Father God? And can we do more? We can always do more, Father, and we just ask you to just show us where we can do more for you. Praise in your name. Amen.